the personality of Godhead. Ashraya, one who has taken shelter. He, certainly. Asao, that king. O best of the virtuous. I'm just going to read the translation. O best of the virtuous, the original king of kings, Manu, was a great devotee of the personality of Godhead, Hari, and thus it is worth hearing of his sublime character and activities. Please describe them. I am very eager to hear. Purport. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of the transcendental topics of the personality of Godhead and his pure devotees. In the absolute world, there is no difference in quality between the Supreme Lord and his pure devotee. Therefore, hearing the topics of the Lord and hearing of the character and activities of the pure devotee have the same result, namely the development of devotional service. I have for my respectful obeisances to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and to all the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. And especially to my dear friend Savas Prabhu, and Tadit, who has taken a worldwide leadership position to maintain such a effulgent community. I want to speak of what Savas Prabhu does all over the world for book distribution and stepping into so many managerial roles. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. And thanks for having us. We're really happy to be here at New Dwarka. Hare Krishna. This verse is aligns us with what Vaishnavism is. We say Vaishnavism because we worship Vaishnavas. Actually, we're worshippers of Vishnu, but all the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Shastras tell us that's more important than worshipping Vishnu is worshipping the devotees of Vishnu. Who tells us that? Well, Krishna. Yad bhakta puja bhyadika, in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna says, if you want to worship me, worship my bhaktas. More important to me. And of course, we know araradanam sarvesham Vishnu araradam param. Tasmat paratanam devi tadiyanam samarcharam. When the question comes to Lord Shiva, what is the best worship? He said, well, worship of Lord Vishnu is the best, but there's something better. That's worshiping those who are dear to Lord Vishnu, the tadiya, the devotees. And when you worship the devotee of Lord Vishnu, says Vrindavanas Thakur in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, he said, if you worship Vishnu, yes, that's the best. But there's still some question if you'll go back to Godhead or not. But if you worship the devotee of Lord Vishnu, he said, then there's no question. Then you're definitely going back to Godhead. Find throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita the ways in which this is emphasized. One that came to mind is that Devananda Pandit was a great reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Only problem was he was a Mayavadi. And he was speaking on this Srimad Bhagavatam. He was giving Srimad Bhagavatam class, and there were large crowds coming because he was an erudite scholar. But he wasn't a devotee at all. And one day, Srivas Pandit came and sat down in the class because it was an open class and everyone was sitting there listening to Bhagavatam, and Srivas Pandit was attracted. And as he was listening to the Bhagavatam, the verses being recited, Srivas Pandit began to experience ecstatic emotions, tears coming from his eyes, and he was trembling. And the assembly there was uneducated in the ways of pure devotional service and thought, who is this person disturbing the class? And some of them got together and ejected him from the temple unceremoniously. And Devananda Pandit didn't restrict them. He just went on speaking. Sometime later, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking in that area, and he then became irate and was railing against Devananda Pandit, saying, this is a rascal. He thinks he's speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, but this is not Bhagavatam. He doesn't know what a Bhagavatam is because he has offended the devotee. He offended Srivas Pandit, who's the person Bhagavat. And therefore, this is an offense, a great offense. And he chastised publicly Devananda Pandit. Devananda Pandit, although receiving the chastisement, still his heart didn't change. And he was a little humble, but he couldn't accept fully what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, nor could he understand the identity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. However, sometime later, across the way from where he lived, there was a mela, a kirtan mela going on. And he went there to see what was happening. And he saw in that assembly of ecstatic kirtan a Vaishnav named Vrikeshwar Pandit. Vrikeshwar Pandit was famous because he could dance for 72 hours without stopping. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially honored him for that. He would glorify Vrikeshwar Pandit, especially for his ecstatic dancing. So when Devananda Pandit walked into that kirtan, he was taken aback immediately. His heart changed. He saw Vrikeshwar Pandit dancing and ecstatic symptoms manifesting in his body. And something in his heart, in Devananda Pandit's heart, changed. Now, when the rest of the people, if you've ever been in a big mela in Bengal, you know that people tend to push forward a little bit. Especially old ladies, they'll slam you with their elbow as they walk by, just for good measure. And there was a huge crowd, and they became more and more ecstatic, and the crowd swelled, and they were pushing towards Vrikeshwar Pandit, who was dancing in ecstasy. And spontaneously, Devananda picked up a stick, and he started warding off the crowd so that Vrikeshwar could dance. And after the dancing stopped, after 6 hours, they sat down, and Devananda Pandit went and sat at the feet of Vrikeshwar Pandit. And seeing his devotion, his sudden manifestation of devotion, Devananda Pandit said to him, he said, "May you become a devotee of Krishna." And from that day, Vrikeshwar Pandit said, thank you, to Devananda, "May you become a great devotee of Lord Krishna." And from that day, seeing the dancing, having the association, serving Vrikeshwar Pandit, Devananda's heart changed. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found out that this Devananda Pandit, who he had chastised for being a Mayavadi and for offending Srivas Pandit, not only forgave him, but benedicted him. He said, "Yes, now you're a real Vaishnav. Because you've received the mercy of a Vaishnav, now you're a Vaishnav." In the Bhagavatam, two famous verses, one comes in the fifth canto, "Rahuganai tattapasannayati na chejaya yattapasannayati na chandasa naiva jalagni surya vina mahatpada rujopi shekam." In this verse, we know that Judd Bharat, is it Judd Bharat? Rahuganaita, yes, he's speaking to Maharishi Rahugana. Rahuganaita tapasana yati. So you could perform tapasya, he says, or you can become a yati, a sannyasi. And then he says, you can sit in water, jalagni, or in fire during the summer. If anybody's ever tried this, you get fires going and you sit in the middle of these fires in the summer. It's the kind of tapasya that people do to try to detach themselves from the world, where they'll sit in freezing cold water in the wintertime. Or he says that you can perform all kinds of other austerities. Ruhuganai tattapasannayatin. He said, but vina pada, without the lotus feet, mahat padam, without the feet of a Vaishnav, without attaining, then it gets better, abhishek, of the raja. Raja means the dust, like raj, you know, in Vrindavan, it's famous for the dust. So unless you take the dust from the feet of a great devotee and you bathe in it, like take an abhishek. Everyone has seen an abhishek, right? The deities bathed with all these substances, you know, and then there's chandan, everything. So he says, unless you take bath in the foot dust of the devotee. So it doesn't matter what austerities you do. They won't be effective. Only that will be effective. And then Prahlad Maharaj gives a very similar verse. Naisham, how does it start? Naisham matista varurukramangrim spishart yanarta pagamo yadartaha mahiya samparujo pihekam nishkinchananam nara vrnita yavat. Says the same thing. This is the key to success in spiritual life, is to take the dust from the feet of a Vaishnav, and you can become purified. In the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's a very important verse we can refer to understand what it means to do this, to take the abhishek of the dust from the feet of a Vaishnav. This is from the demigods who are praying to Lord Krishna within the womb. And they say, Twayam bujaksha kila sattvadam ni samadina veshita cheta saike twatpada potena mahatkritena kurvanti govatsapadam bababdim. So it says that the goal of life is achieved by one-pointed attention on Krishna. And you should be in samadhi. Twayam bujaksha kila sattvadam ni, on the beautiful lotus-eyed Lord. Samadhi da veshita. Twat pada potena mahat kritena. So in this verse, the mahat means the great souls who have made a path for the rest of us. Twat pada potena mahat kritena. The great souls come and then they show a process through which anyone can engage in devotional service. And this becomes the boat on which one can cross over the ocean of material existence. Twatpada potena mahat kritena kurvanti govatsapadam bababdem. Now here's how powerful this process is of following the method given by the great soul, the acharya. He says that there's a boat, which is the process left by the great acharya. And if you approach the boat, and your intention is to get in the boat and follow the process, then the ocean shrinks. Oceans are basically impassable unless you have a boat. And in this case, it's that the process is so powerful, when you approach the boat, then the ocean shrinks down. How small does it shrink? How small is it? Yeah, it's kind of beautiful. Kurvanti ko vatsa padam bhavabdim. So that ocean shrinks down to vatsa padam. So padam means a little footprint. And vatsa means a little calf. Kind of heartwarming, right? So you got a little calf's footprint and a little rainwater goes in there. That's how much water is left. When you approach the process given by the great acharya, the mahat, and if you follow that process, then the ocean shrinks and you can easily step over it by the mercy of the Mahatmas. Also, just randomly giving evidence, but everyone knows, Rishabhadev says, Mahat sevam dvaramahurva muktes tamo dvaram yoshitam sangi sangam mahantaste samachita prasanta vimanyava surida sadavoye. That the doorway, he says, giving all these metaphors now, the doorway to liberation, mahat sevam dwaramahurva muktes. Dwaram means a door. And sevam, everybody knows, that you render service to who? The Mahatmas, the great souls. And he says, that's the doorway that opens to liberation. So, in this, today's verse, we get this indication that just by hearing about the great devotees, because they're absolute, they are as good as hearing about Krishna, remembering Krishna, because there's something devotees have that Krishna doesn't have. What is that? What?
Love for Krishna.
Love for Krishna, yeah. And therefore, Yudhishthira says to Vidura, who is in this section, Bhavad vidha bhagavatas tirta bhuta swayam vibho tirta kurvanti tirtani swantakstena gadabhruta. Yudhishthir to Vidura. He says, you are a walking place of pilgrimage. When you go to the places of pilgrimage, you purify them. Everyone else goes and la-di-da, they bathe there to leave their sins. But you're the one who goes and purifies them because you are a walking place of pilgrimage. And the implication is that not only are you carrying Krishna in your heart, but you're carrying love for Krishna within your heart. Those who have love for Krishna within their heart carry the internal potency of the Lord within their heart. It's mentioned by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu what the devotees who have this love for Krishna have in their heart. He says, Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma Prema Suryamsu Rad Samyabhak Ruchibis Chitta Mistrinya Chitta Asao Bhava Uchite. He says, when the devotees develop this love for Krishna, then he calls it a prema suryamshu. It's a ray from the internal potency of the Lord that melts their heart. And then they carry that around with them wherever they go. And however they speak, says Prithu Maharaj, they have a different vibration. He says that those who have that element of love for Krishna within their heart, when they speak, it's a different kind of vibration altogether. Krishna has on his lotus feet saffron particles. When the pure devotee speaks, says Prithu Maharaj, the voice of that pure devotee touches Krishna's lotus feet and dislodges the saffron mercy particles. When the vibration then reaches our ears, it's not an ordinary vibration. It's a vibration mixed with saffron mercy particles. And therefore, there's a change of heart that takes place because sound carries consciousness. If someone is a Mayavadi and speaks Krishna Katha, we're advised by Sanatana Goswami, don't listen to that. Because he says, Sarpochishta Paroyata, Payoyata. If you, and I heard Prabhupada just last night, I was chuckling about this because Prabhupada said, I never knew this, he said, snakes like milk. I was like, they do? he said sometimes snake charmers, he said, they'll make a preparation of milk and banana and they feed it to the snake. And then he said, there's little poison from the fangs of the snake go in that preparation. And then if you drink that, you think, oh, very nice, milk and banana, I'll take some. You get the poison. So in a similar way, verse quoted by Sanatana Goswami is Sarpochista Payoyata. Just as milk touched by the lips of a serpent is poisonous. So similarly, if somebody doesn't have love for Krishna in their heart, or they're not following in the parampara, when they speak, then it becomes contaminating. I'll take a few reflections or questions, and then we can expand the conversation a little more. Reflections means anything you heard so far that you want to just say back because it might lead to something else. Kier. Hare Krishna. Here, take the mic because then you'll be heard all over the world.
Hare Krishna, thank you. What if we're hearing Krishna Katha, it's coming out of the voice of a Mayavadi, so it's contaminated. But that individual, obviously not referring to myself, is very pure. And just hearing about Krishna nonetheless reminds him of Krishna. Can it be purified in some way?
Well, the closest I can give you right now is that Srivas Pandit walked in to hear Devananda Pandit. And look what happened to Devananda afterwards because of Srivas coming there. There is a way in which very pure devotees purify everyone they come in contact with. Another example would be Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in Puri. He was also a Mayavadi. He met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because Mahaprabhu had walked there for the first time. He was coming from Navadvipa and he came to Puri alone because Nityananda Prabhu had broken his sannyasi staff and Mahaprabhu was angry. So he said to the devotees, you can go before me or after me, not with me. I'm going by myself. So they went behind him to make sure nothing happened to him. And then when Mahaprabhu got to Puri, he went in to see Lord Jagannath, and then he saw his worshipable Lord playing the flute, and he started rushing towards him to embrace him. But then he fainted halfway there. And then the temple commander came over with a stick, intending to beat him, but it just happened that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was there at the time, taking darshan. And he stopped. He was the guru of the king. He was a world-renowned scholar, Sarvabhauma. So, of course, he commanded respect. And the custodian stopped, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya tested this beautiful sannyasi who was lying there unconscious, a little cotton swab. And he was well-read, to say the least, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he could ascertain that this young sannyasi was experiencing ecstatic symptoms. So he had him carried back to his house. And you'll read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a conversation, it's very important in this regard, with Gopinathacharya, his nephew. Gopinathacharya was a pure devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and began telling Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who had this mood of sort of a parental mood towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, here's a sannyasi, he's 24 years old. What was he thinking? Don't take sannyasi at 24. Besides, look how beautiful he is. He's not going to make it. And even so, I'm going to upgrade his sannyas because he has a lower level of sannyas. He was very pedantic about this whole thing. And Gopinathacharya said, what are you talking about? He said, you don't know who this is. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Sarvabhauma's students were all there, and there was this argument going on because they said, the Lord's known as Tri Yuga. He only appears in Tri Yuga, not in Kali Yuga. And, of course, Gopinathacharya, being a great Vaishnav scholar, also retorted that, there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he's called Chanakalao Yadavatar. He's the covered incarnation in Kali. He comes as a Yuga avatar, just not a Leela avatar in Kali Yuga. And still, Sarvabhauma couldn't get it. He wasn't convinced that this young sannyasi was Krishna. And he said, Sarvabhauma said to Gopinathacharya, how do you know he's God? And he said, I know he's God because I have his mercy. And when you get his mercy, then you'll also know that he's God. And of course, we know the story because Sarvabhauma was determined to help this young sannyasi and sat him down to explain to him the meaning of the Vedanta Sutra, right? And Mahaprabhu sat there for 7 days without saying anything. And finally, Sarvabhauma said, do you have any questions? Like, no. Do you understand? The Vedanta Sutra said, yes, very well. I just don't understand your explanation, which is covering the real meaning of the sutra. The meanings are clear, but you're clouding them. Sarvabhauma was shocked. Well, maybe you can say something. And when Lord Chaitanya started to speak, he spoke after Sarvabhauma about the Atmarama verse. He also gave the explanation of what the Vedanta Sutra is. It came into the mind of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, oh, this is not a human being. This is the Supreme Himself. He was transformed at that time, and Mahaprabhu revealed his transcendental form to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So I'm fast-forwarding a lot here, but later on, coming to the point, in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya admits, he said, now I understand. He became completely devoted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was a big event. As 24-year-old sannyasi, headlines on the CNN, 24-year-old sannyasi converts the biggest scholar in India to his line of Vaishnavism. And Sarvabhauma said, it is the mercy of Gopinathacharya. He, because of his association, I was able to understand you. And there, Kaviraj Goswami quotes, Atapite deva padambuja doya prasada leshanu grihita evahi janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno na chanya eko picharam bachimban, which is Brahma, of course, in the 10th canto, 14th chapter, in which he says that if you can get a lesha of mercy from the Lord, then you can understand him. But without that, even if you're a great scholar or tapasvi, or renunciate or anything, then you can't understand anything about him. So that's another one of the instances. And Mahaprabhu, standing there, approved it, said, yes, this is correct. It was the mercy of Gopinath Acharya. By his mercy, you were able to become a devotee. So those who were very pure, Prabhupada mentions this in the Upadeshamrita, we shouldn't cohort with Mayavadis. But there are those who are very advanced, who may go here, there, and everywhere, and come in contact, and then they purify those who are contaminated. I mean, after all, listen to Prabhupada's pranam mantra, Nirvisheshunyavadi paschatya deshitarani. What was his mission? It was to walk into the den of the Mayavadis, the Shunyavadis, all the Vadis, and be with them and then convert them. And they all started dancing and becoming devotees because of Prabhupada's powerful devotional service. So yes, possible. Yes.
Just to clarify, you said that when the devotee walks not just with Krishna in the heart, but with a love for Krishna. Usually, as far as I know, when we say we care someone's in our heart, means we have love for that person. But when you made a distinction between those two, so I want to elaborate. Do you mean the Supreme Soul, as we care Krishna in our hearts, or there's some other distinction between caring Krishna in our heart and love for Krishna in our heart?
Yeah, you could make a case for a distinction. Like, anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma anyanavritam anukulyena Krishna anushilanam bhaktirutama. There's a way in which is defined in the Bhaktisamrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami that devotional service means it has to be anukul, has to be favorable, because there are people like Kamsa who think of Krishna all day long. He couldn't stop thinking of Krishna. Gopis couldn't stop thinking of Krishna. When Uddhava came and said, here's a letter from Krishna, he says you should meditate. And he's like, not only can't we meditate, we're trying to forget Krishna. We can't forget Krishna. And Kamsa, he was meditating on Krishna in an unfavorable way. So it has to be pure devotional service, to be favorable, out of love. One could be meditating on Krishna out of fear, like Kamsa. Nonetheless, yam krodha kama sahaja pranayadi piti vatsalya moha guru gaurava sevya bhava santintitasa sadrishim tanumapurete govindamadi purusham tamaham vajami. Those who approach Krishna out of krodha, kama, vatsalya, they have a sense of anger, fear, natural friendly love, etc. Even they become purified when they approach Krishna. Maharaj, microphone's just now coming.
Wonderful class. I just wanted to comment on the question that came just before the last point,
please,
which was about if one sees a Mayavadi, and the Mayavadi uses the word Krishna or speaks about Krishna, but he is a Mayavadi. He thinks that Krishna basically is nothing but light. That's the reality. So doesn't he get some benefit? He gets as much benefit as there is poison. If you've got a lot of poison, then you get contaminated very strongly. If you have a little poison, then you also get contaminated, but a little bit, and maybe you can get rid of it faster. It depends upon how contaminated we are. So the main point is that know that this is contamination. It may be little, it may be medium, it may be a lot. I have to be careful. And if I have to be careful, then I should go with all the full, complete Vaishnavas.
Die. How would you like your poison? Little, medium, or what is it? Grande. Like a grande poison, please. Thanks, Maharaj. Okay. Yes, Prabhu. Go get it. Don't make Maharaj get up. Okay.
Remember when you said, thank you for the wonderful class, but remember when you said about you should worship the devotees more than Krishna?
Yeah. I remember.
In the Bhagavatam, it says that if you blaspheme a devotee, you can never be uncontaminated. I think that's a word. Unless the devotee forgives you.
Correct. Was it a question or is just an observation?
Fact.
Just a fact. Okay, thank you. Prabhu, yes?
Reflection or question?
It's up to you.
Okay, well, we were talking about the importance of a pure devotee and how, you know, the dust of the pure devotee is being worshipped. So a reflection came to me about remembering the past time that Krishna displays a sickness, and then he asks Narada Muni to go and look for someone to give the dust to the Lord's feet so he can cure his sickness. And obviously he went all the way. A lot of people didn't want to do it. I mean, demigods, sages. But when he came to the gopis, they immediately gave that. So that shows and proves that those devotees, because of unalloyed love and devotion for Krishna, they didn't care about either going to hell or not. They just want to give. But I have a question, Prabhu. So what happened to a devotee, maybe in the neophyte stage? I was witnessing sometimes they were following someone that is the pure devotee, but at the same time they were committing offenses to another one who is a pure devotee. What will be the position? They get the benefit from this pure devotee, but when they offend the other one, can you say something, speak about that?
This tends to happen in neophyte stage. Prabhupada mentions this in the Shrish Upanishad, that Kanishtha Adhikaris tend to factionalize and to argue amongst themselves about whose process is better. And this is the proverbial red flag. Or it's almost April, so red flags make one nervous. If somebody is claiming to be in the association of pure devotees and then discriminates against others and also has this idea that my process is better than theirs, this is cataloged by Kapiladeva in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He gives four verses in a row, each one coming to the culminating in pure devotional service. The first three are devotional service in ignorance, devotional service in passion, and devotional service in goodness. All three affected by the modes of material nature. And we find in passion and ignorance, people have a tendency to feel that my way of doing it is better. They become what is called separatists. And this is indicative of the prakriti devotee who's materialistically inclined. So what happens to them? What happens is a matter of history. People who factionalize and take exception to other pure devotees, other Vaishnavas even, who may be outside their group, they generally don't, they're not able to maintain a standard of pure devotional service. And at some point, they have to be churned a little bit by the modes of nature until they get humble and say, no mas. I would like to be humble devotee and appreciate others. We're given such direction, of course, by Rupa Goswami when he says, Krishneti yasya giritam manasayat manasadriyata dikshasti che pranatibhishcha bhajantam isham shushushaya bhajana vignam ananyamanya nindari shunya hridam ipsita sangalabhya. He distinguishes. He said there's when somebody just says Hare Krishna, you can appreciate them, but from a distance. It's just in your mind, actually. And if somebody's taken diksha, means they've taken a vow to chant Hare Krishna, then you should go out of your way, like cross the street, cross over Watsaka, and go like, Hare Krishna, way to go, Prabhu. Offer some obeisance. And if somebody obviously has become pure, and how do we tell if they're pure? Nindadi shunya. They don't have the propensity anymore to criticize others. They don't find fault anywhere. That's a whole topic. It's very interesting. But that then one should try to hear from such a person, try to serve such a person, and so forth. But anyway, what happens is when you distinguish one devotee from another in a highly critical way, saying mine's better, generally what happens is you become disqualified for some time in performing devotional service until you come to your senses. Not you, somebody. Okay, you already had one. Maharaj gets... Okay, last one, because it's time to go, right? I don't know when you finish. Okay, Prabhu, Maharaj.
It's in regard to what you were just speaking of, and that is, we use the word devotee, and we use it in a very general sense, but for persons who are new here, all devotees are not the same. The inclination to love God, to serve God, to honor God may be there, but not in the same degree. There are different degrees of love. There are different degrees of surrender. There are different degrees of affection. So we must understand there are differences, but we shouldn't make a big deal out of these things. We should respect and honor and glorify all devotees. Nonetheless, there are some who are... But we're not on the same level as Prabhupada. We're not on the same level as some of the devotees who come, who may be GBCs or sannyasis, who have been here 40 years. So we shouldn't think because one is a sannyasi and the other is a sannyasi, they're on the same level. Or one is a devotee and another is a devotee, they're on the same. Not necessarily. But on the other hand, if they are different, one is higher, one is lower, don't make a big thing out of it. This is because then we become overly critical. But it doesn't mean you can't see the differences. You may see the differences, know the differences, on the other hand, not make such a big thing out of it because of the fact that it becomes just envy and nothing else. It's just looking down at somebody, trying to find a feeling of greatness or bigness over somebody. But when we maintain that equal level, that we're all devotees and there are differences, nonetheless, don't overly state these in order to feel bigger than that person whom you're looking at. That's all.
Well, with that sage advice, I think we'll go out on a high note. Thank you very much, everyone, for your kind association and attention. By the way, there's an international effort to distribute Srimad Bhagavatams. Every year it culminates at Bhadra Purnima, which is in September. It's the full moon in September, called Bhadra. In the Bhagavatam, it says that when you give the gift of Srimad Bhagavatam on that day, you get the return gift of going back home, back to Godhead. So over the last 5 years, we've made great advances all over the world in distributing Srimad Bhagavatam. Last year, we did worldwide as a global team, all of us together, including New Dwarka, over 45,000 sets of Srimad Bhagavatam. So I have a little pin for you today you can take with you to remind you that we're aiming towards 2026. And in 2026, we want to have the capacity to distribute at least 100,000 sets of Srimad Bhagavatams worldwide. And we're depending heavily on New Dwarka to do at least half of that, if you can. So if you'd like a little button, you can put it on your bead bag or anywhere you like. I'll give you one right now. Thank you. Hare Krishna.